Hopefully, Mother Harrington McKinney will join us. We haven't heard from her, have we? Anyone?
I have not.
Okay. So I will call to order the Finance Committee meeting of Monday, January 11th, 2021. And I will ask staff to call the roll.
Alder Carter.
Present.
Alder Furman.
Present.
Alder Bedard.
Present.
Alder Revere.
Here.
Alder Harrington McKinney's not here. Alder Kemble.
Here.
Mayor.
Present.
Mayor, you have quorum.
Thank you. Can we have our tech facilitators read the instruction, please?
Yep. If I can get this up here. All right. Welcome to our virtual meeting. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Members of the committee, if you're able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you're able, please activate your video when you're speaking. The chair, clerk, and tech facilitator are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff, please use the raise hand feature when you're asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering a hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the committee, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Mayor, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Are there any disclosures or recusals on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there items that alders wish to have separated from the consent agenda? Alder Bedard? Oh, apologies. There you go. Alder Bedard?
I'll start with item number 16.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Harrington McKinney?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to start with 7 and 8. There's a series of on the transportation committee. I want to make sure that I got all those. So 7 and 8. Ten. And could you come back to me? I have one more that I'll locate.
Okay. Alder Revere? Oh, I'm sorry, Alder Revere.
Thank you, Mayor. The only other one that I would request separation on is item 33.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Kemble.
Not necessarily separation, but I would like to, it can stay on the consent agenda if we all agree that a referral to Economic Development Committee is okay. So I would like to add that as a motion to number 11.
So the motion would be to refer on number 11. Is that acceptable to the body, or should we separate that item?
Separated, please.
Okay, so number 11 will be separated. Alder Harrington McKinney, did you have additional items?
I know that's the one I was looking for. Thank you.
Okay. So then I have separated from the consent agenda items 7, 8, 10, 11, 16, and 33. Are there any additional items for separation from the consent agenda? Seeing none, Alder Carter, a motion on the consent agenda?
Move adoption of the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda. I will note that on item 18, we have one registrant, John Leenan of East Mifflin, in support, available to answer questions. Are there any questions for our registrant? Seeing none, is there anything further on the consent agenda? Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of the consent agenda, and we'll go to item 7, which is Legistar 63064, authorizing an agreement with CARPC for the MPO to provide transportation planning services to CARPC in 2021. Alder Carter, a motion?
Move adoption of item 7.
Alder Bedar will second. Alder Harrington McKinney. I'm sorry, Alder, you're unmuted now.
Okay, thank you very much. I have a question of staff. Is Tom available?
William Schroeder is here. Go ahead, William. Go ahead, Alder.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I had the pleasure of dialing into the MPO meeting this week, and I was very interested in the planning. And what came up for me several times was the equity lens. And so my question is, as you're moving into the planning and also the allocation of additional dollars, I see that there is a shared responsibility, and I wanted to just have an overall view of how diversity and equity is in the planning proposal. How do we look at that, and how is that filtered out? If someone could speak to that, I'd appreciate it.
Good evening. My name is Bill Schaefer. I'm the planning manager for the Greater Madison MPO. And we do considerations are paramount for us. And there are federal requirements related to that we follow. But we obviously look at that as a minimum. But what we do analyses related to equity for all the plans and studies that we work on. We also incorporate equity considerations into the scoring criteria that we use for the selection of projects for the funds that the MPO distributes. And in fact, we're in the process of looking at revising our criteria for our main program, which funds primarily street and in some cases transit projects, as well as our TDM work. We're looking at potentially increasing the weight for that criteria, which we did for the program that funds bicycle pedestrian projects. But we also do a lot of other analysis as part of our planning work, part of which you saw in the presentation to the board this past week, where we were looking at travel patterns by folks living in those areas, and to help identify whether our current transportation system is meeting those needs, particularly from a transit and bicycle pedestrian standpoint.
I wanted to specifically call that out because I was very, very impressed with the presentation that came forward and to really questioning the weighting of your current policies when you look at the equity lens. And so that I wanted to call that out to identify the fact that you are looking at, you know, previous policies and how to weight that out for the equity lens. And so I know that, those two reports were presented at the meeting this week. When do we get an opportunity to look at those equity plans, or is there a time that will come back before us? Because I'm very, very interested in what you're seeing as the weighting and how that's going to look toward equity.
We have a report available on that, but it's quite lengthy. I'm happy to make it available. A lot of it is just maps and showing patterns for various areas, along with some general overall conclusions. But we did actually just this afternoon had participated in a meeting with city transportation staff that are overseeing the transit study, and that data that we put together as data that we've made available to the consultant for the transit network redesign study to use that for that and other work that the city does is working on.
So my final request, and thank you again, is that the two presentations, the slide presentations from your meeting this week, could you make that available?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you.
And I can send out a note. I can send it out to all members or just those on the committee or.
Well, I'm particularly interested in it as you are looking overall with the transportation lens, and specifically what caught my attention was the bike pedestrian. And you talked a lot about sidewalks too, but I really am very, very interested in the allocations of dollars when you're looking at bike and pedestrian transportation through an equity lens. So I definitely want to look at that.
Okay.
Thank you. That is my question.
Thank you, Alder. Are there any other questions on this item? If not, thank you, Bill. And it has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item number 7. And go on to item number 8, which is Legistar 63498, authorizing the city on behalf of the MPO to accept a grant from WISDOT. Alder Carter?
Move adoption of item 8.
Alder Bedar will second. Thank you, Alder Bedar. Sorry. Alder Harrington McKinney, did you have further questions on this item?
I did have a question, again, to staff. It is a non-competitive service contract. And in looking at the other non-competitive service contract, there was a reason for it being non-competitive. And so if staff could just tell me why this particular service contract was designated as a non-competitive item.
The funding is actually for MPO staff to administer this program, the TDM program. So it's not for a consultant. So I'm not sure why it was indicated as non-competitive. But the funding primarily is for staff time as well as some marketing related to our TDM program.
Okay, so that will be. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alder.
I have a quick question.
Oh, maybe that was 9. Thank you.
Alder Carter?
Yeah. William, can you just explain I'm just trying to find out where I was looking. I looked up and lost it. Can you just explain that rideshare program real briefly?
Sure. So this is a program we've operated for quite a long time. It is focused primarily on assisting both individual commuters, as well as working with employers to facilitate help them with transportation options to driving alone to work. And then we also do other work as well. For instance, we're providing some support for the City of Madison's efforts to look at TDM and a potential TDM ordinance. So we do other things as well, but it's coordination of work being done by the city, county, university, and others related to TDM, and then some direct assistance ourselves. So, for instance, an example is we administer the Dane County has a bus pass program, and we help them, administer that. The county also funds a guaranteed ride home program that provides a tax-free taxi voucher to people who normally commute by other means, but in an emergency need to get home. And so we administer that program as well. So variety of things, but mostly focused on helping people with providing an option, like connecting them with a carpool partner, or helping them identify a bus route to get to their work, or working directly with businesses who want to provide programming as a service to their employees to help encourage alternative transportation.
And does it also work with the state of Wisconsin rideshare program, or is it independent from that?
It's independent, but provide that information. So we have a website where people can go and find out their options, and that would be one of them. And that information is on the website.
Okay, thank you.
Alder Harrington McKinney.
Madam Mayor, I would like to correct my error. I called out number 8, but it really was number 9 that was a non-competitive service contract. So that was my error.
Thank you, Alder.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions on item 8? Or is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of item 8? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote and move on to item 10, which is Legistar 63204, authorizing a sole source service contract with Cone Incorporated for elevator maintenance in the South Livingston parking garage. Alder Carter?
Move adoption of item 10.
Second.
Alder Harrington McKinney, you had questions?
No, that was my error, Madam President, Madam Mayor. It was number 8 that I had a question, but let's go ahead and pass them since I missed that.
Thank you, Alder. I assume there are no other questions or any discussion? Seeing none, then on item 10, is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 10. Item 11 is Legistar 63217, authorizing an MOU with the Center for Black Excellence and Culture to allocate funds from the Small Business Equity and Recovery Program. So Alder Carter, let's get a motion, please.
Move adoption of item 11.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alder Spitter.
So we're not doing a motion for referral?
Well, we'll get a motion on the table, and then there was a request for discussion, so.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Alder Kimball, I believe you have a motion. Are there any questions before we get to that? All right, seeing none, Alder Kemble.
I'll move referral to Economic Development Committee.
Is there a second? Alder Furman.
I'll second that.
All right, moved and seconded. Alder Kemble, did you wish to speak to it?
Yes. So as I copied you all on an email I sent to our economic development director, at our economic development committee meeting in December, we had a lengthy discussion on the Small Business Economic Recovery Program and got information from EDC staff that the demand was extremely high. As of December 10th, there was almost $2 million of requests and for you know, $5,000 to $10,000 grants for small businesses owned by people of color to purchase PPE, to make their businesses safe, COVID safe for their workers and for customers. And that was, you know, that is an immediate need of hundreds and hundreds of businesses owned by people of color in our city. And the demand was quite great. And they were expecting, you know, even more applications after that December 10th and into January. So I have to admit, I did not see this item for introduction on December 1st. Had I seen it, I would have asked for it to have been referred to EDC. I'm a little surprised that when we were discussing this program that this didn't come up. But I would like EDC to really evaluate this in light of the enormous demand for this program, which, as we stated in our resolution back in July when we created it, you know, was for, there were a number of purposes laid out, but they were all having to do with economic recovery and support in COVID times of businesses owned by people of color that already exist, not for, you know, pre-development activities for new construction. So I don't, as I said in my letter, I don't oppose the city helping to fund that other project. I just think there's so much demand from so many businesses under this program already that we should look for a different funding source for it. So that's what I would like, I guess, us as a council and also the Economic Development Committee to discuss.
Is there any discussion?
I have a question for, is Matt on this?
Yes. Go ahead, Alder Carter.
Yes, I believe, Matt, and you can talk about how we actually did look for other funding, but can you talk about why this funding is appropriate for this request?
Sure. Thank you, Alder. So just by way of background, again, the resolution before you this evening is to use $250,000 of the $2.5 million that was included in the 2021 budget for the Small Business Equity and Recovery Program. The rationale for using the SBER funding for this particular project is that as we moved forward with SBER, we recognized that there was going to be two sort of different uses of funds. There was sort of the immediate need that Alder Kemble referenced, which was to help existing businesses through the current crisis, and then also a desire to help foster new entrepreneurship among individuals of color in the years ahead. And this would help support that second part of the goal of SBER, which is looking ahead to future new entrepreneurs.
Alder Carter, does that answer your question?
Yes, I might have another question after Alder McKinney.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Harrington McKinney?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. When I went back, number one, I was surprised that this was being referred back to economic development. because when I read through this particular item, it fit all of the criteria that we have been saying that we are supporting racial equity and development. And specifically, some of the language within the context said it could be a catalyst. How did it list it? As a catalyst project for the Black community for Southwest, South Madison. And I saw it as an investment such as with the Madison College, an investment that the UW-Madison is making, and the investment that the Urban League has been making for South Madison. It has all of the, and also Bain County has allocated dollars toward this project. And looking at this project and what it can mean in terms of economic development and vitalization for the Black community, I did not see any reason why this should not be moved on. As a matter of fact, I really want to applaud the mayor and also the president for recognizing that this vehicle is potentially a hub that will support and drive Black businesses, not just small business as well, but it's going to be an economic driver. And so to have that in the center of Madison and all of the investments that have been gone into that community, I did not see a reason that this should not be moved on for discussion. I had invited someone to speak on this particular item, but we got it so late I couldn't get a chance to get that set up. But I would really question, if you read the resolution and read the context of it and what it can evolve into and how it can really expand Black excellence in that community on top of everything else that's going on to build that, I don't understand why that will not be moved forward. I think that we should be celebrating that this will be moved forward. And so I ask to be, you know, added as a sponsor for this.
Thank you, Alder. I'll ask staff to please add Alder Harrington McKinney as a sponsor. Alder Bidar.
Thank you, Mayor. So I want to first go on record saying I'm extremely and fully supportive of this project. I think it's an amazing and incredible and much needed, long overdue project that, again, I'm fully supportive. I think what's before us is the referral to indeed a committee that usually would be seeing these items. And out of the equity and fairness of our processes, when we regularly kind of add referrals per request of our colleagues, I will support the referral. I do want to say on record that I think it's a great project. Whether it comes from this source of funding or another potential source of funding from the city, I certainly will be supporting it when it comes to council. But I find myself having to support referral because of the fact that I support usually referrals from any of my colleagues to committees where the item or the issue is part of the role of that committee. And certainly the EDC has been the committee that has discussed that equity fund over time. So
thank you, Alder.
Can I ask, when is the next meeting of EDC?
Matt?
It's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, the 20th? Or like the 13th, like 2 days from now?
The 20th.
So this would be coming back to council on the 2nd, February 2nd.
Yes, presumably it would come back to finance on the 25th and then council on the 2nd.
Okay, so it's a 2-week. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Furman?
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to quickly be on record saying I 100% agree with Alder Bedar. I support this project, and I also support my colleague for wanting this to be referred to the appropriate place. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Furman. Alder Harrington McKinney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. My question is to Matt. And so, Matt, I also saw that there was a South Madison market study that recommended the Black Excellence Center. So could you speak to again and expand on why you think that this is a project that's well worth moving forward, that it does fit within the criteria that was set up for an engine for developing Black businesses? So could you speak more to that? And why it came to the Finance Committee and you're supporting moving it forward?
Sure, Alder. And I think just by way of background, at the moment there's actually two centers that are being considered for South Madison to help facilitate future entrepreneurship. There's the Center for Black Excellence, which is before you this evening, and there's also an Urban League Center that's under consideration as well. And certainly in the context of the South Madison plan that you referenced, there's an identification of a desire to help support entrepreneurship among people of color, especially Black entrepreneurs in South Madison. And both of these centers could potentially help serve that role within the community. And again, looking at SBER from the perspective of not only assisting existing entrepreneurs today, which clearly they need assistance, but looking ahead to the future and helping to support new entrepreneurship was the rationale for using this program for that purpose.
Thank you. Matt, did you have anything to add? I see you on this call as well.
You mean Mr. Walker?
Yes.
No, we're interchangeable. I'm just here in case there's a question I could help with.
Thank you. Thank you, Alder. Alder Verveer.
Thank you, Mayor. Another question for Matt Michalajewski. The question, Matt, now that we've established when the next EDC meeting is, are you aware, Matt, of based on any conversation with Reverend G or others at the Center for Black Excellence and Culture as to what their need is as it relates to the timing of any city financial support, by the way, which I fully support myself? So if this is delayed, if the motion to refer is successful and we delay our committee action with a recommendation until our next meeting in a couple weeks, and this then takes us from the January 19th council meeting to the February 2nd council meeting, to see any concern on the part of Reverend Weir or any of the others that are organizing the center?
Thank you, Alder Revere. You know, it's always dangerous to speak for other people, but based on my understanding of the project, I don't think that this would present a huge issue. The funding request before us is for pre-development related work. Dr. G's organization and working with other community partners are already looking ahead to the planning of the center, and this work will help with some of the more details of that, some of the business planning, some of the initial architectural work and the like. So I don't believe a 2-week delay at this point in the project would put the project in jeopardy.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your response.
I have a question after everyone gets done.
All right. Thank you, Alder Carter. We'll get to you after Alder Bedar.
We We seem to be toggling back and forth with our mute on mute, and it's not happening. So
my apologies, Alder Bedar.
It's okay. It's mine on my side too. So this is for the Matt or Matt. I heard to some of the question that there was an inference that you weren't supporting this going to EDC, but do you have an opinion of whether it's appropriate for EDC to discuss items related to this particular fund?
I think it's appropriate. I have no concern about it going to EDC.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Bedar. President Carter.
Yeah, so Matt, I know that Alder Vivier actually asked the question I wanted to ask, and it's regarding timing. But I do want to say that this was on the December Common Council agenda, and it was passed, and now we come to finance, which normally it would be passed, and now we're asking for a referral. I just want to, for the record, to say that the process is always a process when we want the process, and never the process when we don't want the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder Carter. Alder Bedar, did you have another comment?
Yeah, just my final comment. I tend to approach these things with the thinking that we all sometimes miss things that are being introduced on the council agenda, which I'm going to trust that was the case, and that's why the referral wasn't made. And in my many long years as alders, we have made referrals mid-process to other committees. So again, I'm 100 million times supportive of this project. And whenever it comes back before us in whatever shape for a vote, I will be voting yes.
Alder Harrington McKinney?
Now, just to make sure, this is my third time speaking on this item. Am I out of order?
No, Alder.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to make sure. Again, I am going to support moving this forward. There is an opportunity if we move this forward with a recommendation to the council, there is still an opportunity to refer this back to the economic development. I think that if we are looking at processes, we use this term often, but just as I slipped item number 8, I mean, it had gone through and been passed, and so we continued on with the agenda. Because this has been passed and now is at the Finance Committee, whatever that recommendation would be to move it on to the council, and then at the council there is an opportunity to refer it back to committee since it's in the development stage. And so I am going to vote in affirmative of this particular item.
Thank you, Alder. I have no other alders in the queue. The motion is on referral to the Economic Development Committee. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of referral? Alder Harrington McKinney, do you wish to be vote? And Alder Carter wish to be recorded as voting no?
Correct.
Correct. Right, so is there any objection to recording a vote with Alder Harrington McKinney and Alder Carter voting no and the balance of the Finance Committee voting aye? Seeing no objection, we'll record that vote, and I'll just make sure that staff got that. Good. Okay. All right, so that takes us then to item number 16, which is Legistar 63563, resolution authorizing a non-competitive contract with Maxim Healthcare Staffing Services to support public health in COVID-19 testing, contact tracing, and vaccine administration. President Carter, a motion?
Move adoption of item 16.
Second.
All right, moved and seconded. Alder Bedar, I believe you had questions on this one.
Yes, thank you so much, Mayor. Janelle, thank you for joining us. I know these are continue to be long and busy days. So I had a question regarding the specifically the vaccine administration piece of this contract. I know that the contract, I think it was for $1 million for one quarter. Is that my recollection? Because I don't. What portion of it do you think is going to be, or do you have a sense of, and I see Kate, you're there too. Now I'm seeing you. Is going to be allocated for vaccine administration, and what kind of capacity do you think that will create for your ability to do vaccine administration?
Can jump in there to your question. Good evening, everyone. I'm Kate Austin Stanford. I'm the operations director for Public Health Madison Dane County. So for this contract, I do anticipate right off the bat that the amount dedicated to vaccine administration will be small. We have a few nurses, about five, and they're not all full-time, who have been on with us this fall to conduct the flu vaccination clinic out at Align Energy Center. They, because we started to receive COVID vaccine before year end, they stayed on and started with us in our first, we're 3 weeks in now, just our first few weeks of COVID vaccine administration. So this allows those folks to stay on because they're already trained in performing that function for us. But we also have a posting for vaccine response specialists. Those are LTE positions through the county. And that's where we're going to be doing the majority of our hiring for supplementing our vaccine, those folks who will be administering vaccine. So this contract primarily will be to maintain the bulk of our contact tracing staff, as well as our testing staff who is out at Align Energy Center, and that is funded through the end of the first quarter.
And you don't need to go into like minute detail on this next question that I'm going to ask, and maybe I shouldn't even ask, but I'll ask it anyways. What makes you kind of like this decision about kind of going through this vaccine and contracting to them versus going through the LTE process from the county, which in the past we've seen that that's been a little bit of a just because of the processes of the county, there tends to be a little bit of delay in timing. Like, what weighs into your decision one way or another? Is it cost? Is it training? I don't know.
Oh, that's a really good question. A lot of factors there. You know, Maxim is staffing a number of entities in this response. And with the vaccine specifically, we've had some lead time to be able to prepare in ways that we weren't able to prepare as we've seen spikes throughout the response. So we are currently interviewing for those vaccine response specialist positions. And so with the plans that we've developed, we felt confident and feel confident in pursuing that avenue with the county LTE system, given just the different type of preparation we've been able to do for vaccine rollout.
Thank you, Kate. And I guess my last question is like, I because of my day job, like I do like think that yes, there's been a level of preparation, but there is also, we literally don't know what the decision is going to be of the new administration even in 2 weeks. So that's, you know, whether it's like, I call it the floodgate is going to open, not in a bad way, but what it's going to look like. So that's why I was wondering, you know, where you're seeing your vaccine priority.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we'll just add that this contract as written with those three functions will allow us, if we're not able to meet the need through the county system, we will be able to access additional vaccinators through this contract. So there does allow for that here as well.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. That was very helpful. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Revere.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Kate and Janelle. I have a couple of follow-up questions, Alder Bidar's line of questioning. First, I noted in the attached purchasing services report that the current public health contract with Maxim, which obviously, Kate, you've already talked about tonight, that we've only to date spent about $20,000 or at least paid about $20,000 to Maxim. Could you elaborate then on, does that cover all of their billing for last year, or is that simply the fact that there's quite a delayed billing?
Really good question. And so the history with Maxim, we had signed a contract with Maxim in 2016 to have on the books for additional surge staffing support in the case of a public health emergency. In this summer, we signed an addendum to that original contract to allow for additional staffing for our community testing sites that we were able to stand up this summer. As we moved into the fall and saw that significant increase in cases, we knew we went back to Maxim with a larger ask for staffing. Given the COVID relief funding that went directly to the county, the avenue we pursued was for Dane County Department of Administration to contract directly with Maxim for the staff that we have on board currently. So all the staff that are with us, and there's, you know, about, I would say, 130, give or take, Maxim staff, that contract is currently being held with the county and will expire at the end of this month. And so we are transitioning, given that funding stream has ended, transitioning to a public health purchase of service contract directly with Maxim. So that's why you see the spending to date so low on that contract with Maxim.
I see. That makes complete sense, Kate. Thank you. So, yeah. Out of curiosity, do you know ballpark, approximately how much county DOA is? Does it pay for Maxim?
Excuse me, I couldn't quite hear the question.
I said, do you by chance know how much the county Department of Administration has paid to Maxim out of curiosity for services rendered?
Yeah. I would say they've held it for probably the fourth quarter of 2020. And I would say that's about $1.7 million, roughly.
Okay.
Voice is still coming in, and it took a little while to staff up, so we might not get there, but those were the contract ceiling numbers for the county in this last quarter.
That makes complete sense now, because I just couldn't figure out the disconnect between the ask and the resolution you drafted and was introduced. And then what you had written, Kate, in the city purchasing services report for non-competitive contract. One or two other quick questions. In terms of the staffing, obviously, both of you have heard us ask in prior conversations about redeployment of city employees. I'm curious, could you give us an update as to approximately how many city employees and perhaps county employees as well have been redeployed from other agencies to assist you in this important initiative?
Yes. So we've had five county staff that have provided kind of continuous full-time support to our testing center at Alliant Energy Center, and then six city staff as well, a handful at AEC, and then some folks helping with our open records requests that have continued to come in. Janelle, I don't know if you have anything else to add there, but those are the kind of the numbers that have stayed pretty steady through the response.
No, thank you, Kate. You're doing an excellent job, and I appreciate that. Nothing to add.
Thank you. And out of curiosity, do you know, are those all at this time then parking utility employees, or do you still have any from other city agencies in terms of the city ones that are redeployed?
I don't believe they're from other city agencies, but I can confirm and follow up with you.
No, thank you. You're very kind. And then my last question is, since you drafted the resolution in December, obviously the Congress and the President have acted on the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021. Do you now have a confirmation that would have the sufficient grant funding that will be made available to cover this? And are you pretty confident tonight that you wouldn't have to go to public health fund balance to fund any of this Maxim contract? Or do we not know as of today yet?
We don't have confirmation from the state about how much of their allocation is coming through to us. We are confident that there will be funding for each of those streams for contact tracing, testing, vaccination that will continue to come through and will, I anticipate coming back hopefully next month before the council and this committee with some resolutions to accept those dollars. But we don't have a confirmation of that funding yet.
Thank you. We will see you again soon with good news.
Yes, agreed.
Consent agenda then too. So thanks very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Are there any other questions for staff on item 16? Alder Carter, did you have a question?
Yeah, I have a quick question, and maybe I missed it, or I can't read my writing, one or the other. Did you say, Kate, that the staffing services is mainly doing testing and contact tracing?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Are they also administering the vaccine too, or no?
Yes, there are a handful of registered nurses who had been administering the flu vaccine in our clinic this fall who have now transitioned into administering COVID vaccine.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, President Carter. Any further questions? Any discussion? All right, it's been moved and seconded to adopt. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor. And thank you, Kate. And that will bring us then to item 33, which is Legistar 63691, report on the voluntary time away program. And I believe this is you, Dave.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. As required by the resolution adopted by the council in November, creating the voluntary time away program, this is a report on the numbers of employees that signed up for the program, as well as the estimated savings associated with the number of days that those employees requested for voluntary time away. So the memo that's attached goes through those numbers, shows a total estimated savings of about $194,000 towards that $1.2 million goal, in effect, of spending that's already been reduced out of the 2021 adopted general fund budget. And you can see the other fund sources in that table on the second page of the report. That same table shows how this compares to if those individual employees who signed up, where they would fall in the proposed mandatory furlough program. So to get that sense of how much more above what would have otherwise been gotten under a program such as that would have been realized. But overall, the savings is all funds, about 16% of that $1.2 million goal, although some of that other funds probably can't be used to help meet that goal. The general and library fund savings totals about 10% of the goal. I think as you recall from that resolution, this would not go into effect until April, and the mandatory furlough program is also delayed until then. And then the memo just references the fact that the city right now is trying to pull together workshare plans to take advantage of provisions in the recently adopted Federal Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2021. And individual employees that may have signed up for voluntary time away, if we proceed with those workshare plans and those individuals are in those workshare plans, they may ask to be, change their participation in voluntary time away. So that could affect these numbers that you see here in terms of participation and savings. I think that summarizes the report.
Thank you, Dave. Alder Verveer.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Dave, for your report and for your summary presentation. I just have a few questions. The first one is, could you estimate for us, or if you have specific information, that would be even better. But could you share with us, please, how many employees requested voluntary time away but were not granted approval by their division or department head?
I don't have that information. I can try to find that. I'm not sure to what extent we recorded that. Anything that may have been turned down may not have been recorded. I think it was only appeals, but HR, Harper might have that information, but I don't have it. So I can try, I'll talk to him and see if they have that information.
That would be great. I appreciate that. If we do have the information or could create the information, perhaps we could add that as an addendum to your report or future report on the topic. The other question I have, and I thank you for the couple of paragraphs in the report about the new possibilities involving work share. I was curious, since the writing of the report, is there any, and I realize the work is literally taking place hour by hour by a variety of staff as it relates to work share. Do you have any updates for us on work share beyond what you've already articulated and what was written in the report last week by you?
No, the plans from the agencies literally arrived at the end of last week. We're still getting plans from the agencies as of today. So we hope to pull those together and, meet the criteria for work share plans. We've got to work through that as well. The mayor needs to approve them, and then that needs to also be sent to DWD for review and approval by them. That's basically where we're at right now.
And then lastly, in terms of future reports to this committee or the council, were you planning to provide us future reports both on VTA and work share at the upcoming finance committee meetings? And if not, could you do that, please?
We can certainly, yes, provide updates as we have information.
Thank you, appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. There are other questions on the report?
I have a quick question for Dave.
President Carter?
Dave, can you tell me what the time frame is on this? Is it to the end of 2021?
The voluntary time away?
Yes.
It's through 2021.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions on the report? Or any discussion? Okay, it's just a report, so no action needed by this body. Is there any other business? If not, President Carter?
I move adjournment.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we are adjourned. Thank you all. Have a good rest of your night.